final interval. Alec Kyle glanced at his watch. It was 4:15 p.m., and he was already 15 minutes late for his all-important governmental board. But time, however relative, had flown, and Kyle felt desiccated. The papers in front of him had grown to a thick sheaf. His whole body was cramped, and the muscles in his right hand, wrist, and arm felt tied in knots. He couldn't write another word. "I've missed the board," he said, and hardly recognized his own voice. The words came out in a dry croak. He tried to laugh and managed to cough. "Also, I think I'm missing a couple of pounds. I haven't moved from this chair in over 7 hours. But it's been the best day's exercise I've had in years. My suit feels loose on me and dirty." The spectre nodded. "I know," he said, "and I'm sorry. I've taxed your mind and body both. But don't you think it was worth it?" "Worth it?" Kyle laughed again, and this time made it. "The Soviet E-branch is destroyed." "Will be," the other corrected him, "a week from now." "And you ask if it's been worth it?" "Oh, yes." Then his face fell. "But I've missed the board. That was important." "Not really," the spectre told him. "Anyway, you didn't miss it. Or rather, you did, but I didn't."
Kyle frowned, shook his head.
"I don't understand." "Time," the other began. "Is relative." Kyle finished it for him in a gasp.
The spectre smiled.
"There's a door to all times out there on the Möbius Strip. I am here, but I'm also there. They might have given you a hard time, but not me. Gormley's work, your work, and mine, goes on. You'll get all the help you need, and no hassle."
Kyle slowly closed his mouth, let his brain reel for a moment until it steadied itself. He felt weary now, worn out.
"I expect you'll want to be going now," he said, "but there are still a couple of things I'd like to ask you. I mean, I know who you are, for you couldn't be anyone else, but..."
"Yes?"
"Well, where are you now? I mean, you're now. What's your base? Where is it? Are you speaking to me from the Möbius Continuum, or through it? Harry, where are you?"
Again the spectre's patient smile.
"Ask instead, who are you?" he said, and answered, "I'm still Harry Keough. Harry Keough, Jr."
Kyle's mouth once more fell open. It was all there in his notes, but it hadn't gelled until now. Now the pieces fell into place.
"But Brenda, I mean your wife, was due to die. Her death has been foretold, and how can anyone change or avoid the future? You yourself have shown how that's impossible."
Harry nodded.
"She will die," he said. "Briefly, in childbirth, she'll die, but the dead won't accept her."
"The dead won't?"
Kyle was lost.
"Death is a place beyond the body," said Harry. "The dead have their own existence. Some of them knew it, but most didn't. Now they do. It will change nothing in the world of the living, but it means a lot to the dead. Also, they understand that life is precious. They know because they've lost it. If Brenda dies, my life, too, will be in jeopardy. That's something they can't allow. They owe me, you see."
"They won't accept her. You mean they'll give her life back to her?"
"In a nutshell, yes. There are brilliant talents there in the netherworld, Alec. 1 billion of them. There's not much they can't do if they really want to. As for my own epitaph, that was just my mother being overprotective and pessimistic."
His outline began to shimmer, and the light from the windows seemed to glance more readily through him.
"And now I think it's time I..."
"Wait," said Kyle, starting to his feet. "Wait, please. Just one more thing."
Harry raised ghostly eyebrows.
"But I thought I'd explained it all. And even if I haven't, I'm sure you'll work it out."
Kyle quickly nodded his agreement.
"I'm sure I will, I think.
All except why. Why did you bother to come back and tell me?"
"C simple, said Harry. My son will be me. But he will have his own personality. He will be his own being. I don't know how much of the real me will get through to him, that's all. There may be times when we need reminding. One thing's certain, though. He'll be a very talented boy.
And at last Kyle understood.
You want me, us, the branch, to sort of look after him, is that it?
That's it, said Harry Keogh,
beginning to fade away, shimmering now with a strange blue light, as though composed of a million fibre-thin neons.
You'll look after him, until he's ready to start looking after you. All of you. Do you think you can do that?
Kyle stumbled out from behind his desk, held out his arms to the shimmering, rapidly diminishing spectral thing.
Oh, yes. Yes, we can do that.
That's all I ask, said Harry. And also that you look after his mother.
The blue shimmer became a haze, snapped into a single vertical line or tube of electric blue light, shortened to a single point of blinding blue fire at eye level, and blinked out. And Kyle knew that Keogh had gone to be born.
We'll do it, Harry,
he shouted hoarsely, feeling tears hot on his cheeks, and not knowing why he cried.
We'll do it! Harry?